Every time a miracle happens, I believe that God is giving us a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. It is a constant miracle in heaven. People are healed. It's a miracle. It's a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. And people are fed. Needs are taken away. And it's a glimpse of what heaven is going to be like. Here in this community, miracles still need to happen. Amen? There are needs every day. I don't care how quiet this town feels right now. I was just talking over this with a friend earlier. This town's very quiet, except on cruise ship day. But even if it's quiet, I've never heard a town screaming with more spiritual need than right now. There are people that are hurting. And it couldn't be more like July 4th weekend, spiritually speaking. It is a loud clanging cymbal that says, I need hope. I need a miracle. That kind of gets down to why we even look at miracles and why we even bother to look at miracles. C.S. Lewis says it this way. Love this quote. A miracle retells the story in very small letters that is written in huge letters across creation that sometimes is too big for us to read. That's a message of God's love. God loves each one of us, is shouting in the midst of a miracle, I care about your needs. You know, I prayed yesterday before the soccer game. We do each game, and we do in a lot of the sports, many of the sports. We're blessed to be able to do that. And I'm not sure how many of the students are engaged in that or not. Nobody's forced, but they want it, you know, especially when they watch the other team walk in the gate, and they're like, you know, a foot taller than them and have a $1,000 jacket on, you know. Our kids are like, we need prayer. We need it, like, right now, coach. No problem. What I'm trying to teach a few of them specifically that are older and can handle this is, if we win, we praise him. If we lose, we praise him. Regardless of the circumstances, God is good. Win or lose. That's a tough lesson for kids to learn, because they're expecting if the goals don't go in the net, then God is not what? He's not blessing us, or he's not there, which is such a shallow view of God, and it's really not accurate in any way. But it's hard. So we're in the middle of that. And I love the fact that when God says, I want to meet your needs, he's whispering a miracle in your ear. I want a relationship with you. It's bigger than what we think. A relationship with God in and of itself is a miracle. That's why we look at miracles. Miracles of Jesus reveal to us God's heart and his love for us. If you have notes today and they look like this, okay, you can fill those in. It really helps for me to learn anyway what God may be wanting. And I do these myself. This is directly from what I have. But it reveals to us God's heart. They also reveal his will for our lives. And I'd like to take a look at this miracle of the bread and the fish and see, what does this have to do with us today here at Christmas season? Could there be something? How does this apply to our lives? So let's look at it. So they got into a boat. This is speaking of Jesus and his disciples. And they went off to a remote place by themselves. Someone saw them going. It's always that way. Paparazzi's always around. No matter what, Jesus was in for it. And the disciples, okay? Word got around, and from the surrounding towns, people went out on foot running and got there ahead of them. When Jesus arrived, he saw this huge crowd, and at the sight of them, his heart broke. Like sheep with no shepherd, they were. He went right to work teaching them. And so, when his disciples literally thought this had gone on long enough, it was now quite late in the day, they interrupted. We're a long way out of the country, and it's very late. Pronounce the benediction or blessing or prayer and send these folks off so they can get some supper. I love this. I love this because Jesus just looks right at the guys and he says, you do it. You fix supper for them. They replied, are you serious? You want us to go spend a fortune on the food for their supper? But he was quite serious. How many loaves of bread do you have? Take an inventory. Well, that didn't take long. 5, they said, plus 2 fish. Jesus got them all to sit down in groups of 50 or 100 in the grass. They took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, lifted his face to heaven in prayer, blessed, broke, gave the bread to his disciples. His disciples, in turn, gave it to the people. He did the same with the fish. They ate their fill. The disciples gathered 12 leftover baskets. More than 5,000 were at the supper. This is a miracle. God reached down, totally provided for people who were in need. At this church, time and time again, budget does not make sense. Let me say that with our annual meeting approaching soon. At this church, budget does not make sense. We are looking at what God can do. We do not have a fear walking around here of what could happen if we, you know, do something. We do it. If God is in something, we believe he'll bless it. And sometimes it comes right down to the wire. Sometimes paychecks are maybe even withheld in payroll. It gets a little difficult at times. God continues to provide. Needs are met. And there are difficult days. Why? Because we need God, no matter the circumstances. And here at this church is a great example of how it's run, meeting people's needs. And it happens in waves. There's an ebb and a flow. Today's one of those ebbs. And it better flow. I don't know, 19 turkeys or so is my guess, is what I've heard. So it's a big crowd coming in the doors just below us here. It's going to be a sidewalk full of wonder. Will our needs be met? And the church is going, God will meet your needs. I don't know how, but I hope that he does, and he will go for it. He'll have a chance to live through our hands and feet. Jesus will show himself. And this is a miracle. And I believe that it teaches us 4 very clear things today about how we're to live. First thing it teaches us, we need to see hungers all around the world. Now, before you jump on this and you start going, here we go, you know, this global thing, Andrew. I mean, you're big about Avalon, but can we just steer clear of this? When the answer is no. That map is there for a reason. What a beautiful map. What a reminder of the needs. We need to recognize hunger surrounds us every day. World Vision estimates 34,000 kids die every day because they don't have food. This week I was listening to the radio. Serbia, which was huge in the news many years ago, it seems like. Refugees finally making it back home. And what they're coming back to is far worse than anyone ever expected. No money. Nothing to buy anything with, and they have no houses left over. Nothing. If there was anything to buy, they don't have the money. No food to eat at all. If things continue like this, many people are going to continue to pass on because of the cold winter, Serbia winter that's approaching. Physical needs all around the globe. Physical needs in this county, LA County as well. When I walk to the pike getting off the boat, you don't have far before your eyes will meet a need. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you walk under that same bridge I walk under. And especially if you're catching the late boat at night and you're crossing over, you're looking over your shoulder. And there are people wandering like shadows in the dark with needs. Cold. Go a few more, you know, blocks downtown Long Beach. You don't have far to go. Is that a situation in Avalon? Is there a homeless population in Avalon? Yes, there is. Even in this jewel out here of one of the 8 Channel Islands, there is a need in this beautiful town of Avalon. I want to challenge you. If you've never fed a homeless person, you've never reached out to somebody who's in need, it's an experience you won't forget. And I want you to consider helping out in whatever way possible. Maybe it's at the dinner today for someone who may be in need. I don't need really to point out who those people may be. I think, quite honestly, it's such a small town that need is every 15, 20 minutes, someone passing by. You may notice that person. But there are physical needs of hunger all around us. And that's not exactly what I want to talk about today, though. I literally want to focus on spiritual needs. There is a nation around us that is starving to death spiritually. Every day when you see your friends, and let's just, you know, go there for students in school possibly. Or maybe they're on the field or on the court. They're starving to death of spiritual malnutrition. This generation, right now, many of you are part of the Generation X. It's the first generation willing to admit that we don't have the answers. And they're not fulfilled. The generation before us, the boomers, would say, get a good education. And this new generation's saying, why? It's not just one degree, it's two. It's not just my master's, it's two masters, so to speak. Why? Get a good education, you could get a good job. And now this new generation's saying, why? What's the use? Get a good education, get a good job, you'll make a lot of money. And we say, why? What's the use? It's the first generation that admits that nothing satisfies this hunger that we have in our spirit. And they're right. The only thing that's going to satisfy that deep hunger is a relationship with the one who created us. And it's starting to settle in. That's a spiritual hunger. The verse, when Jesus landed, saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them. Underline compassion. Jesus had compassion on the crowd because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Compassion's the key word. Not a diploma, although it's wise. Compassion started 2,000 years ago. Not necessarily higher education. And I look at this and I say, are you serious? Compassion is simply wanting to help those in need. That was the higher education. Get a master's in compassion. It's actually seeing the need, recognizing the need, then wanting to help. Our family has a lot of education sitting in this pew over here. There's even more on the way. If I haven't taught this lesson based on what I have learned personally, even as a father, what am I handing this next generation? What really am I giving them? Is it something that the world could steal like that? The world looks at a church that's supposed to have compassion on them, sees people who don't really care. I said it. The world looks and sees a church that's indifferent to their needs. So they think, what? God is indifferent to my needs. There's nothing that could be further from the truth. Great illustration. Phil Yancey in his book, What's So Amazing About Grace? He tells a story of a Chicago social worker. A prostitute came in off the street looking for help. She said, I don't know what to do. I'm homeless. I'm addicted to heroin. I've got a 2-year-old baby. And what's even worse is I've been prostituting myself to get money for drugs to feed my needs. But I can make more in an hour renting out my daughter than I can work in an entire week on the streets myself. So I've been prostituting my little girl for drugs. She was sobbing the whole time and she said, I'm desperate. And the social worker looked at her and had compassion on her. He absolutely knew he was going to have to turn her into the authorities. But he had one last recommendation, one last. And he said, have you ever thought about going to church? Asking for help at a church. She looked at him with amazement in her eyes and said, church? Why the heck would I go to church? I already feel horrible about myself. That would just make me feel worse. And this story exemplifies the lack of compassion that we have sometimes. If you step across the line and say yes to Jesus, you're not just called to see the needs of the poor, not just to see the spiritual needs around us, but to have compassion on them and the desire to do something about it. Awareness is only part of it. If we can be there, if we can say, I want to have that heart, I want to be compassionate. The world can change. Your college campus can change. Maybe even the club that you're in. Maybe even the sport team that you play for. It is possible. I saw it happen with a young boy just 7 years ago. And 7 years later, the maturing process has kicked in. And compassion for someone else is what this kid's got. And it starts with him saying, I want to show people on the outside what has happened to me on the inside. I want to be baptized. It's not my faith. It's a symbol of my faith. but I'm looking for others. This kid's got it. Very mature for an eighth grader. Future football player. Looking forward to that. That's the first thing. I think miracles teach us the story that there's hunger surrounding us every day. Number two, second thing is I think it teaches us to serve. Boy, this church has got that down. And Jesus says, I don't want to send these guys away. You give them something to eat. Love that. If this were the only thing we ever saw from Jesus, it wouldn't be very helpful to us because it looks like Jesus sitting back and saying, hey, you guys, you do all the work. It's not the case. But we know because we know the whole story. Jesus lived a life. His entire life was completely dedicated to service. Even take a look at his first miracle, right? The wedding in Cana. Huge wedding. Serving others, giving them the best wine they've ever had, made from water. He modeled service completely with his life and his death. This is not Jesus putting off responsibility. This is Jesus including his disciples in something wonderful. And I love this because that's what he wants to do for you today. He wants to be teaching us and giving us that shot. Are you willing to serve? You give them something to eat. We are the hands and feet of God. I can honestly tell you, sometimes we get those mixed up. Sometimes we think there's just the financial part of it. We can just give financially. But sometimes there are hands and feet really needed. You know, it's one thing to sponsor a kid. It's another thing to literally show up in their living room and to sit down and hear their story. Hands and feet, really getting dirty. And when we step across that line and say, yeah, I want to do it God's way, we become a part of the process, and it's a privilege to serve. If you've ever gone down to Mexico, or in some of our cases, Guatemala, and you've had a kid right on your back and just kind of hanging out with you, and you look into the eyes and see that love and connection that's taken place there, you're blown away. In fact, you get pretty quiet, you know? And some of these kids that we've held in our hands literally have been brought up in coffee farms, and they're put in rice bins to hold them while mom and dad are just pulling these things out of the ground. And in order to keep them quiet, they're weaned off of coffee. And so with malnutrition centers all over the place, these are kids that look and feel and weigh a third of the weight of the height, weight, and stature of their age. And as a result, there's a connection when you look at them in the eye. There's something there. You're looking deep into something deeper. You don't have to just go there. Here in this community, look into the eyes of a child here. Some of you guys are in education here, and they sit across from your desk, or you go to their desk. And regardless of what's happening on the outward appearance that's disrespectful, you look into the eyes of that person, you realize their heart is under assault. There is so much damage that's been going on. And just the outward appearance and the disrespect that you feel is way more revealing of something deeper, on a deeper scale that's there. And it's here. It's in Long Beach Unified. It's right here. You don't need Guatemala. You need just a few moments here at Kid Ventures, or just a few minutes walking on Front Street, and you're looking into the eyes of that kid. And sometimes it's messy. Sometimes it's late, late nights. Sometimes it's more than one night. Sometimes it's your whole Sunday. It's important, though. It's important for us to say yes to. It's important for us to model this stuff. The needs are spiritual, and they're deep. Third thing is, I think this miracle teaches us, we need to start with what we got. Just start with what you have. We had a few soccer balls. That's all we had. Didn't know any kids. Skateboard. Skate park. We can skate. We know how to skate. We don't know anybody else, but we can go, we can skate, we'll take some soccer balls. See what I'm saying? We don't know how many kids are actually going to show up. We're hearing over 700, but we have some goldfish. Let's just start with the goldfish. God always starts with what we have. He always starts with where we are, with who we are, and that's God's plan. And God does not want you to wait until you grow old to begin to meet your spiritual needs that surround you every day. God does not want you to wait until you have all the answers. If Christianity can give you all the doctrine that's there and everything that comes with it, that's not God's plan. He simply says, if you need a campfire and you need a moment, bring some food, light the match, and get up there. Right now, lighting a match would not be wise. Okay, Southern California does not need more matches. But my point is simply keep it simple. What do we do have? We have a place we can do this. We have a harbor that's out of control beautiful. A lover's cove. Who gets that in this world? We have places here that are set up for success and adventures waiting to happen. A shared adventure. Let's get a group of guys, go up the canyon, get some grub, have a fire, see what God's up to. Simple. God does not want you to wait until you win the lottery or until you start making big bucks to start being generous with the material possessions that you do have. He wants to start with where you are. Jesus says, what do you have? Oh, 5 loaves? 2 fish? Okay, well, okay. So Jesus starts there. Got it. Prayer. Food. A few years ago, before we moved here, Tampa Bay Dream Center, we're from the Tampa Bay area of Florida. The Dream Center was failing. Financially, a lot of sponsors backed out with this thing. And it was you've seen the Dream Center off of Sunset Boulevard in L.A., an enormous facility. This is about a third of that size. An old hospital that had been converted, similar to the one that's in L.A. And the building itself was dilapidated. Only a few floors at the bottom were really used to help meet the needs of the community. And local churches were called out, and a few responded. A certain rap group in the community that was giving out the gospel and rap got connected to my church because we had a lot of skate events. We needed that music to give out a different message that we couldn't give out, but the same message. And long story short, I got an invite to this Dream Center, and I was like, what do you want us to do? We're going to a Dream Center? What's a Dream Center? Well, it's a gathering place, and actually you're not going to make it into the building because it's not safe to have the functions. We're just going to use a local park and raise money for this Dream Center. Oh, you're raising money for a Dream Center. Now I'm starting to, okay, you want us to do something to help you raise money. What do we do? And the guy just said, whatever you can do. It's just very little direction. I kept asking questions along the way. I wasn't getting a whole lot of answers. So he said, whatever you can do. So you know what we did? We emptied out our garages. We had all kinds of stuff in there. Badminton rackets, chalk, face paint, balloons. I mean, just stuff that I wouldn't say it's seasonal. Florida is always in season for sports. My garage was one big five. You know, it was just, it's like similar. And Dave, I know some of you guys, you got your there's stuff even in your golf cart, you know, you're always a Frisbee. So we just put up what we had. We emptied the garage and we went over there. Hundreds and hundreds of kids showed up. We just cranked on a boombox, started painting faces, started throwing Frisbees, a little wiffle ball action in the side. Kids came from everywhere. We didn't have any direction other than clean your garage out. Get your stuff down here and make a difference. And I was talking to another youth pastor who was hanging out at the time, and he goes like this. He goes, I know this doesn't seem like much to you guys, but this is the greatest party these kids are going to have all year long. They can't afford Disney World, and it'd be Disney World in Orlando there. He goes, they can't do that. But here, you just brought Disney, brother. I'm like, all I did was clean my garage. This is all they get? What do you mean they don't go to Disney World? So we started raising money to send them to Disney World. Take it up a notch. People started raising money, and kids started going to Disney. Isn't that cool? It started with just some chalk and a Frisbee and their dream. They don't get to go to the beach. They live close enough. They didn't. They couldn't go. There's too much drug stuff happening around the beach. So the parents wouldn't let them go there. So we started putting them in a van, driving them across the bridge, the big bridge of Tampa Bay, and taking them to a decent beach with good security. They got to go to the beach. All that stuff we found in our garage. All that common stuff lying around the house. It doesn't take much. I mean, right now, your wheels are spinning, and you may be able to write something down or type it in your phone. We could let go of this. That could bless somebody thinking about this. We don't need to have this dated perspective of we need to serve God once we get to a certain level. Forget that. God wants us to start right now. He'll always start with where we are. You may be thinking of your big Christmas dinner. Well, maybe some people left for college. Maybe they're not coming back from college. You got some empty seats around the table. Is it really that bad to invite people to your table? What's the risk? Tonight, these tables are going to be filled with community. We don't care who comes. We want people to come as they are. God always will start where we are, with who we are, and what we have today. Number four, the last thing is when we say yes to God's plan, we need to be prepared and blown away by what happens. He's going to blow you away. God is a God who wants to rock our world, wants to totally blow you away, completely shatter the stereotypes of who God is, what he can do. They all ate and were satisfied. There it is. Disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. This is what happens. They're willing to give up their fish and their bread in the first place. They didn't have to, but they were willing to do it. They could have chosen to be safe, to be selfish with their food. They could have chosen to eat it themselves. That would have been a really sad short story, wouldn't it? We have the choice, too, to keep the things we have and to not share the hope that we have within us. That makes the story really sad and selfish, and God wants to paint a different picture. And this morning, I want to give you something that's different. He wants to use you in a way that we trust him. It's crazy. It's unpredictable. It's totally, completely abundant. And abundance. You ever thought about why there were 12 baskets left over? I was just thinking of that. Because each of those disciples probably had to pick one of those up, take it home, plop it down on the living room table and say, "Hey, honey, check this out. We have food for the next year and a half." Each one of them. And I was thinking, how could I communicate this in our world today? It's like if you went to the movies, especially here in our casino, and the prices. And I'm going to use, you know, I'm headed over to the restroom. And you get some popcorn. And you're a little bummed because you only have $40 and the popcorn's like $38.50. And you walk up and you give the guy, Jesus, the money. So Jesus gets the money. And a truck just opens up and rains popcorn down on you. You're swimming all the way to your seat in popcorn. You're blown away by the audience. And you're blown away by the abundance because it's filling up in the audience. And you get into your car and go home, open the door. There's popcorn that runs out of your golf cart. And your parents are saying, "Who gave you all this popcorn?" "Jesus." It makes no sense at all. Where'd all this bread come from? Boom. You'll never believe what happened today. It doesn't make any sense, but the reality is that is exactly what happened on this day. The disciples had no explanation for it. They couldn't figure it out. They said yes to God with a meager lunch, and God blew them away. And that's what can happen in your life when you trust God. It's crazy if you trust God. He will empower you when the junk hits the fan. These arrows that are on this photo represent a lot of stuff. You fill in the blanks, man. You are getting hammered with it. You stay in that word. You just take a sentence out of the word of God, which is just as powerful, and apply it to your life, and something happens that's bombastic enough. God's word will change your life. It happened to my oldest son. He was a hellion in school. He was every teacher's nightmare. Seriously, administration had this teachers coming to him going, "This kid is so sarcastic. This kid won't stop talking back." And mom and dad were just going, "Oh my goodness." You know, youth pastor, great, great, great. Yeah. Mom, teaching at the school, great. You know what happened? And you're my witness. He picked up the word of God. I'd love to tell you about some great Francis Chan videos. But he never made it there. He just picked up the Word of God. Am I right? Okay? Just started reading the Word of God. Over the course of a summer, I've never seen something like this in my life, and it happened in my own home. The word of God changed my oldest son. He literally started speaking in chapel services by the next fall with quite an array of people that were skeptic, especially teachers, but they had to come to grips. This isn't the same kid. The football team's here seeing that same thing happen in classrooms right now. Who the heck are these freshmen? They're the most respectful kids in our classroom. Teachers are commenting on this. Miracles happen when we get out of the way and watch God do something. You'll be blown away. You have nothing to do with it. Leave it alone. There's no explanation for it. Trust God. Paul is praying here, now to him, which is to God, who can do immeasurably more than I can ask or imagine. God can do so much beyond what I can even conceive. That's the kind of God he is. I love that prayer from Paul. He wants to rock our world. Four lessons this miracle can teach us. See the hungry that surround us, compassion on them, be willing to serve. And we actually start today with what we have. And that next step, we're blown away. And the first thing I want to challenge you is this. Let God fulfill your deepest hunger. Boy, do we love to fill in the blanks and medicate. Just medicate. I'll let you fill in the blank. For our insecurities and the junk that's in our life, that medication, in a lot of ways, is a less wild lover. Everything from drugs to porn to alcohol and everything in between, it is just medication after medication on something that is big. And we slap a temporary bandage on it. And God is the only one that can satisfy that hunger. Man, I've been waiting for this movie. It came out in September. And we did not have a chance to get the guys off the island or anyone that wanted to go with us because of the time of the year. It was just crazy busy on the island. So I bought it. And it came, and I'm showing the darn thing. And we're advertising both men and women, and it's tomorrow night, 7:30, which is casino movie time, so to speak, 7:30 at the bank upstairs in the founder's room, back of the bank upstairs. Here's a trailer from it. I want you to take a look at the trailer, but specifically, here's some of the stories of the people that saw it fresh out of the theater, okay? It's called The Heart of Man.
Secrets have been killing me my whole life. I always felt that God was mildly disgusted with me.
Not only is this film going to bring an exposure to a topic that we don't talk about that often in church, but it's also going to give you an accurate picture of who the Father God really is.
Sure, you know, there are going to be struggles every day of our life, and no one's going to be perfect, but the Heart of Man Project, I really believe that it will be spiritually edifying for you.
I didn't know that what happened to me was wrong, that it affected me so deeply.
And what's the trajectory of shame over a lifetime? A lifetime!
God is willing to climb onto the worst that I can bring, to the deepest place of loss that I can create, in order to transform it into something that is now precious. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't
climb up, coming after me. It's in that wrecking that we actually see sort of the God that actually loves us.
This is a game changer. Really feel this is going to heal a lot of people.
It goes to the painful places so that we can heal, that we can move forward, and that we can be fully human and fully who God has made us to be.
Tomorrow night, that plug is there for anybody and everybody who has that time. And to be honest with you, this is that time of the year where New Year's resolutions kick in, you know? I'm not waiting until the new year. I want to finish 2017. It's not over with. As I told my soccer team, I go, you got one more game for 2017. You get a new slate in a couple of weeks. You finish this thing with a bang. They look at me like, geez, coach. I'm like, yeah, senior. It's your last game of 2017, you know, perspective. All of a sudden they're like, it is. It's our last game of 2017. And a buzz started happening in the group, and I just backed off. Lady Lancers came through. And I'm just letting you know, God's going to come through. And he wants to remind you, perspective here. I'm still sovereign. I'm still here. 2017 may seem like a wash to you, but I'm still on the throne and I'm with you. Let me help you. Let me help you. Let me help you adjust. Maybe you're trying pleasure experiments, fill that hole with parties and sorts of things that the world's offer. Maybe you're walked away for a length of time and you know that it doesn't satisfy. The only thing that's going to satisfy, though, is a relationship, but you're not sure about taking the step. That's the hardest part, is the trust, is the risk, because the shame and the guilt are hammering you, and it's like, what do I have to give up? Why give it up? That's too much risk. I'm not sure of this right here. The only thing that's going to satisfy that is God. Because if you keep trying it or kicking against the pricks, as Johnny Cash says, and you keep hammering this thing out, before you know it, you're either going to be dead or dying, anarchy, you know, filled with addiction, whatever it looks like. It's just a reckless cycle of death. God turns around and he says, the one who wired you the way that you are in the first place is me. I wired you. I built you. I know you're passionate, and I know what you're passionate about. Let me fill your hunger. To the stumbler for a second. You're not a seeker, but you're a stumbler. You've crossed the line. At one point in your life, you said yes to Jesus. You've stepped across that line, but you're not completely sold out to God's way and God's plan. And if you're in a tough spot. You may be wondering, what am I going to do with my life? It may have gone that far. That's the cosmetic effect of the confusion within. Get it? I don't know where God stands in my life. And as a result, what do I want to do with my life? Because it's self-centered, and that's not rewarding. God says, I want you selfless, not godless. Let me be involved. And you've got a sense of stress in your life, too much of God in your life to enjoy the world, possibly. You've got too much of the world in your life to really enjoy God. Can kind of get confusing at times. You're back and forth. You don't really enjoy anything. Got no real deep nourishment going on from God because you've never really said yes to him completely. You never said, I want to give this up. I don't want to fill my hunger with all those crappy things that the world is just hammering me with. And my friends, the world teaches that. I want to say yes to you. I want to live sold out to you. I challenge you to let God fulfill your deepest hunger. Maybe you're sold out. This is a great image right here. Just sold out. Everything is sold out, man. I am in. I am all in, and I'm going hard, man. I love my Savior. You're serving him the best way you can. The next step for you is that you would. Because right now you're chasing a paycheck, or maybe you're chasing how you're going to pay your rent, or you need a bigger lease, a bigger something going on right there, and you just keep searching. God says, you know about serving me, man. Just go all in. Just let go. Cross the line. Because when you do, watch me start meeting your needs. Watch me start meeting your needs. Trust me. Let God use you to feed others. Write that in. Let God use you to feed others. On that day on the hill, Jesus prayed to God, broke bread and fish, fed 5,000 plus people. And I finish with this. He fed their needs spiritually by teaching them. He fed their needs physically by giving them food. You can do the same thing. You can do the same thing. Surrounding here in this one square mile town are several hundred students. I want to say close to 300 in high school. Not all of them are in high school. Some have dropped out, and they're right here in our community. They're right here. God wants you to feed them. Teachers are working at the campus level. What about the dropouts? What about the ones that are escaping? What do you have in your garage? Is there an opportunity to take a small service project to a local needy organization and do something with that? That's simple. Just empty the garage. And maybe you don't have a garage because it's Avalon. Maybe you do. but a simple project. A few mops, a couple brooms, and a rake. And all of a sudden, a soccer team is not a soccer team anymore. They're the cleanup squad. And they step into Kid Ventures, and they do something very simple after a massive storm. Because it's not about soccer. You need to have an Avalon perspective, not just Machado Field perspective. This week, I plan on taking my team up to the airport. Now, that's a lot of fun up there at the airport, but there's a journey along the way. I want to get them out. I want them to stand on the summit. I want them to see and have perspective of this 22 by 8 mile. This is a massive island. I want them, their heads, to get out of the matrix and say, I love my home. Look at the beauty in front of me. And come back restored. Come back going, man, I'm going to play for my home. Look at my home. There's my little town. Perspective. I challenge you, if that's where you are, let God use you to feed those around you. Maybe clean out the garage a little bit. Do something simple. You may think you're asking the impossible. I'm so busy. Well, this last thing is, I would never ask you to do the impossible. God would never ask you to do the impossible. We're only talking about the possible. He only asks that you would do the possible. Let God do the rest. And you've heard that before. And I'll come back to it again. In fact, I may just keep ending every sermon this way. Why? Because we keep saying that's impossible. And I want to keep reminding you, like the ever-ready bunny, okay? God is up to the impossible, but you must do your part. Guys, you've got to play 240 minutes, three straight soccer games in 3 days. It's absurd, but that's what the schedule says. You're going to have to give everything you have all three games. That's what I told my team. I mean, leave it out on the field. That's all you have left. You have a holiday break afterwards, so spill it. You have three games, 240 minutes. And we almost lost that last game in the final couple of minutes. And something came from nowhere, and the impossible happened. Why? Because they did what was possible. They gave everything they have. And I believe that the game could have gone either way. And win or lose, we would have been satisfied. Why? Because they gave everything they had. Maybe we didn't win the game. Maybe we didn't catch that dub. I promise you right now, we would have been satisfied either way. I'm glad they won, but I saw them spill everything they had. You do your best. Leave the rest up to God. When you trust Him, the ride that He takes you on is absolutely incredible. Let's pray. Oh my gosh. God, thank You once again for bringing us here. Blown away at this miracle and even what Your Holy Spirit is doing right now. And I challenge those of you in the crowd right now in this crowd service to listen to your heart. Let the Holy Spirit speak and be active in your heart. And let your filter, the mind, clearly see what He has to say versus what the world's way would want you to hear. Thank You for Your word, God, which I believe speaks to our hearts today. And Lord, I pray for the people in this room that are seeking legitimately. They want to know the truth. And I pray that You would talk to them in a real way, that they're interested in making a decision to fill their needs with a relationship with You. Would You just prompt their hearts right now to say, yes? As much as I know how, I want to be filled by You, Jesus. I want to be nourished by You. Jesus calls Himself the bread of life. And if anybody eats of this bread of life, he'll never be hungry again. Thanks God for that promise. And Lord, I pray that You'll speak to the stumblers right now, those in the middle, caught between two worlds. Lord, I pray that You'll prompt their hearts to make a stronger commitment. They'll rededicate their life to You and get on track. I'm sick of playing the game. I'm sick of having all this spiritual stress. I want to be sold out, all in. Would You prompt their hearts to make that commitment? And Jesus, as we leave this place, will You go with us, guide us, give us the week we're looking for? I don't mean free from the battle going on, but may those arrows that approach us only strengthen us. Will You bless our lives? We pray this in your name. Amen.